So we pray, Heavenly Father, we realize that same pillar of fire that was here bringing the word to Paul is now revealing it, and we thank you for it, Lord, that we can have the truth of what Paul said, especially for this hour, the consummation of the Gentile ages. And also, Lord, what you gave to John, the revelator, who is a seer, as rather a one who just brought the word as a scribe, wrote down everything that he saw very accurately. Given that ability, we see that open to us also. And we pray, Lord, what is brought to us at this hour may be increasingly clear to us, and the mysteries, Lord, that are laid open to us by the prophet vindicated, we may receive those knowing that they're the truth, and if it's we are part of the truth, it will abide in us and join together in that invisible union of word and believer and spirit, making us one, Lord, as we ought to be and are according to truth, and to progress from this point on through the ages that you have laid out for us. We thank you, Lord, therefore we can assemble together in this hour with a peace and quiet and love of yourself, Lord, by the reason of the Spirit and the Word which is in us, having therefore a true love toward you, Lord, and true love toward each other in that great family devotion. Help us this morning to that end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we get into number 24 of the spoken word as original seed, I've been remiss in not answering some questions that come to me periodically, of which one is a question concerning people who find themselves in a pretty well, they think, untenable position. They don't know what to do, particularly concerning marriage and divorce, where the question arises, and it may have its roots entirely in organization in a Pentecostal church, but then again, it also might have some roots in the message of the hour, in that people were not necessarily allowed or necessarily encouraged, but there was perhaps set forth the understanding that the people could separate and remarry kind of indiscriminately. But anyway, a question came up. How, if I was really full of the Holy Ghost and I believe that I was truly a child of God, how could I have been so messed up, especially in the thought of marriage and divorce? Well, actually, the person just missed what Brother Branham said. He said it was wrong teaching. And if you have wrong teaching, then you have everything wrong. If you don't have an understanding, I'm not a mechanic, I can tell you that, but if I were to read an article, I might be entirely confused as to what the differential is. If they still got them in cars, I don't know. I suppose they have. As to some other part of the car, which would be very minor in its comparison, and I'd make a botch of it. Well, if you have the wrong word, you make a botch of it. It started out in the Garden of Eden with Eve, allowing the word to be changed to her, and she brought about what Brother Branham called this great interruption, which is this 6,000 years of sin, until it's brought back to where it should be. So I think the majority of people who are asking questions along lines like this are victims of wrong teaching. And what you got to do is to just go on from there. After all, the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And let's face it, at the end time, there's no message but this has life. No other word will come to life. And so if you come against the word, as it says in Hebrews 6, you turn it down. after having seen the supernatural vindication manifested to you, you've read about it and know about it. It's for the burning. That's the same as Malachi 4. And that's at Revelation chapter 19, when Christ comes back with the bride, and also goes forward to, because all scripture has a double meaning or application, compound meanings. It goes right on down 1,000 years later to the white throne. So, neglecting to answer that, I just wanted to let you know, as Brother Branham said, live the way you're living, be happy. If you're contented, stay that way. And don't worry about it. Just believe. As I say, the atonement is effective for anybody who really believes that word. If they listen to the word of God. To listen to the word and receive it, you couldn't do it unless you're seen. You simply can't do it. And even then, you have to be very elect. So, all right, we're going to go to number 24. And in the last several pages of this message, which we read, this sermon that Brother Branham gave us on this subject, we find Brother Branham explaining his ministry as part of the end of sacred history upon earth. As the bride is about to enter into the millennium and tribulation and fire, destroy yet renovate this earth. So Brother Branham is very careful here, as in all messages, to indicate and substantiate, really, what part his ministry has in end-time sacred history. In other words, having to do with the Bible, the church, the bride, and the eternal things of God. Now, number one, he presents himself as a vindicated prophet in the light of Deuteronomy chapter 18. That is, the man that's vindicated by God has thus saith the Lord. And what he says comes to pass. And because of that, and we had it on numerous occasions, literally hundreds of times, it is the infallible proof that what that man says is what you are obligated to listen to, receive, and believe, or you are in jeopardy. No ifs, ands, or buts. When this man speaks for God, he speaks as God. Now remember, that's predicated upon the fact that Israel said, we don't want to see God in any further manifestation. We don't want to hear God in any further manifestation. It is too nerve-wracking. We can't take it. What say we have a representative who go there and God deal with him and he deal with us? And God say, if they have well spoken what they have spoken, that is exactly what I'll do from now on, and that is 100% true. And you turn your back on it, you're finished. Now, if you don't think that's true, you try to sell a house that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, God knows how many great-grandfathers, put a lien on it, and the lien was never lifted. Long as they can trace that down, you don't have cleared property. Right? You know the law, Brother Evans. Smartest man here in the law. Is that right? You got a lien on your property.
Well, I don't think I'll receive it.
Try to sell your great, 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 30 times great granddad's property. I think we could do that in England, couldn't we, Brother Abbott? You go back a long, 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 long way. Yeah. Same law over there, right? If not cleared, you're out of luck. Why? Because it was a legitimate government-backed contract. All right. Now, can a jury determine the law as to upset it? The answer is no. The law is there, and the jury must abide by it, And many times they will set the consequences. But the jury is not a lawmaker. And the judicial factor in America does not legislate, it adjudicates. There was a piece of legislation passed thousands of years ago. That piece of legislation was entered into by God and man. It's a contract that he speaks by a prophet. This brings us to Brother Branham in Revelation chapter 10, 1 and 7, where the mighty messenger God himself, Elohim, comes down from off the throne, stands upon earth, his feet as pillars of fire, therefore the pillar of fire is here. The judge and the prophet. This also fulfills Acts chapter 3, where a prophet like unto Samuel. In other words, one who does not bring the word but is fully capable of adjudicating on the grounds that he can get to God for the absolute correct answer. It says, beginning at Samuel. The mouth of all the holy prophets, the word restored. William Branham doesn't only purport to be that individual, but it is proven by thus saith the Lord that he is that individual. But many people disbelieve always because of Deuteronomy chapter 13, which precedes Deuteronomy chapter 18. Well, you say, maybe God threw them a curve by putting the false prophet in there ahead of the true prophet. Deuteronomy 18. That could be possibly true. On the other hand, Israel was well acquainted with Jannes and Jamber, and saw the mighty works which they manifested so close to those of the prophet Moses, that God said, look, I want to tell you about the false prophets. You better be very careful. You could end up with a man so correct but so far off as to be pitiful and bring you destruction, as in the case of Balaam. Jannes and Jambres. They are not true prophets because they are not vindicated properly. You notice that there is no record of Balaam coming with thus saith the Lord, which is a miraculous entrance in order to substantiate his prophecy, even though it is still standing today, proving he was not a true prophet, as was Moses, but he was simply truly a prophet. Number two, the vindication is necessary, or he cannot speak with authority from God, as did Paul and Moses and Samuel. In other words, after 2,000 years, we have thus set the Lord in the land, and who can dispute it according to the Scripture? And notice everybody's mouthing off. And just this morning I heard the same old thing. The Judeo-Christian concept. Bring it to Deuteronomy 18. Hold it, boy. We got our own ideas. Why don't they just forget the Old Testament? Don't believe it. They don't believe even the very concept upon which this Bible was written. Huh. Yeah. They're like these guys in America. They hate America, but they won't go someplace else. They'll stay here and bug us and try to destroy us. Three, with his right to bring a message entirely vindicated, there is actually no reason for continued vindication. Once the Supreme Court rules, it should be final. Unfortunately, it's no longer that way. But I got news for you. When God's Supreme Court rules, it's over. There is no necessity for Pythagoras to continue proving the Pythagorean theorem. Isn't it nice I know those things? But the square root of the sum of the two sides perpendicular to each other is the square of the hypotenuse, something like that. Once it is proven, you don't need to prove it again. If you're an architect and you know anything about physics, and you'd have to know to be an architect, to understand stress and strain, all the architect has to do is know the exact formula and apply it. I never did like physics. We were taught in school, we say now we... Here is the fulcrum, which the rock is the fulcrum, or it's the fulcrum. And here is a board of which the density and specific gravity and all that kind of stuff is so-and-so. And here we put something over here, a little rock, to balance this over here. And you had to find out all about that. It drove me nuts. Because I didn't like it, and I had no reason to attempt to apply it. But I had this much brains to know that somebody else could do it under the proper conditions, and it worked. When you drop a rope over the hill, a very, very high hill, it might be not a hill, a mountain, several miles high, and the tensile strength is just so much, how much rope do you let out before the rope breaks? Who gives a rip? I don't. But it's very necessary in this world to know that. And when it's proven, who's going to climb on a mountain? Dribble the rope down. Hey, buddy, when are you going to break? Yeah, it broke. You see what I'm talking about? If this message is vindicated, somebody stuck. Huh? And somebody's blessed. What is that? The law of blessing and cursing. The sword that cuts both ways. The judgment that kills them saves us. Right? All right. It is time for a message that must and will be accepted by those to whom it is sent, which is a bride, a very elect group. Thus we see the great ministry of vindication decreasing. Why, it decreased entirely. It's no longer amongst us. The vindicated ministry, of course, was the Son of Man ministry. Thus we see the great ministry of vindication decreasing, for seed planting is the order of the hour. You know, if you study the lives of people, and you don't even have to study them, that any man who ever came on the scene with a great ministry, it wasn't long until his ministry died, and almost every single time the fellow then went into teaching, which constituted an error, unless you had thus saith the Lord. Because invariably a man's reputation is built upon his strength. And if his strength was one of Pentecostalism, where you had great power and authority in meetings, where the sick were healed, I can remember in the case of Dr. Price, does anybody know where the thyroid is? The goiters? Where they get the, right beside. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is it in your throat or is it in the walls? It's in the walls, isn't it? Yet how come when Dr. Price prayed for the people in Vancouver, British Columbia, they spit up goiters on the floor and they swept them up with brooms and shovels? Miracle. Now my question is, does that constitute him an authority to teach? The answer is no, but he did it anyway. Unless you got, thus saith the Lord, you cannot go to the Scriptures as infallible authority. Yet you'll notice that Mrs. McPherson did it. Crossed myself, you know. And that just about everyone did it. Not everyone, but a lot of them did it. See? Notice what I'm trying to tell you. They beat God's time clock to the punch. And right today, the Pentecostals vindicate themselves by Oral Roberts and Tommy Hicks. Oh, he's dead, beg your pardon. Tommy Osborne and other men. And they do not even exist in the healing ministry. It is completely defunct. You don't even hear Junior Grant anymore. You hear people running around like these people running to the Branham people. They're falling like 10 pins everywhere. Anybody want to leave here? I'd be happy. I'm not happy to see you go. Look, I love you. But hey, look, do what's in your heart. I got to do what's in my heart. You know, don't worry and be sorrowful anymore about anything. Of course, I got to watch myself because I've been a little more careful. Most number four. At the time of this seed planting, which is called the sowing rain, the Morat, or teaching rain of Joel 2, we notice that two other seeds are being planted. Number one, Billy Graham, the Protestant Pope of denominations. You see, why is he the Protestant Pope? Because he goes to the Pope and bows down and scrapes, and he said, "You're preaching the same gospel we are. Hallelujah, my brother, my darling brother." That ain't the way I heard it in the Word of God. B, Oral Roberts, the Pentecostals. A power demonstration of gifts. The restoration of gifts, not the word, since 1906 and continues right to the very end of all of this Gentile age entirely. Thus, three seeds are planted, one by Brother Branham, one by denomination, one by the Pentecostals. And they're the chaff, they'll be burned. Now, this is a sorrowful situation, but there's nothing you can do about it. If you think you can, by your disbelief and claiming you're more righteous than God, you may do so, but you'll die in the fire. Your pains for being ultra loving will be your destruction. Three seeds planted. They must have water or rain, which is the Spirit, to bring them to the harvest, as it says in the second chapter of Acts and the sixth chapter of Hebrews. This is the latter rain that will now bring to maturity every seed and take them to the judgment, called the harvest rain. This is how it happens in Israel. The bride seed word will bring forth sons of God who know no other word but the message of the hour. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. The message alone has life and is by vindication the only seed that is proven to be the true original word, and it will be fully processed by God. It will be absolutely fully predestinated, because that is the end, because it is. Thus, from this point on, every soul and every spirit is judged and tried by the Word as to its truth, whether it be a spirit of God or a spirit of man, spirit of hell. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse that Brother Branham read time after time is it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That was proven time after time by Brother Branham. Therefore, the word test is our ultimate live or die. Word test. Okay, five. Based on his vindicated authority, Brother Branham takes a few scripture as a word test for his audience. Now listen carefully to what I just read, because I know you're not catching it, because you're too familiar with expressions rather than the depth of expressions. And the reason I know is because I catch myself off a guard all the time too. Now listen carefully. Based on his vindicated authority, Brother Branham takes a few scripture as a word test for his audience. Now, based upon vindicated authority, therefore, any scripture he takes is what? 100% the truth, the way he tells it, right? Any scripture. Any scripture. All scripture. None excepted. E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D. Huh? Okay. Do they really believe him, the audience to which he's speaking, mixed, that he has the authority and speaks as God to the people? It is very doubtful. He does not even challenge them as to his authority, but casually and yet definitively and emphatically. So it's not as casual as they think, and as we think. And he expresses in terms Matthew 28:19, and the terms are foreign to the Trinitarian, for he calls them titles and not names. Now, being as casual as he is, is this a trap? Except to the very elect who are now so thoroughly indoctrinated, so substantially one with the vindication and who has brought it, that every time he says something, it is amen. That's great. I'll take that. You don't have to understand every single thing. Now look, all of us aren't prophets, teachers, and Bible trained and all. We have our own limitations. I've got mine, as I've warned you many, many times. I've got mine. See, yet if one is true seed, there should not be one thought opposed to this. Now, the great revelation and revelations that Brother Branham brought us were under the seventh seal. Now remember, time itself runs out under the sixth seal, in the sense of the way we know the earth now. Because right at the end of the sixth seal, Christ and the bride's got to come back and set up a kingdom, and it'll be full of immortal beings when he renovates a part of the earth. So the seventh seal, which should follow subsequently, chronologically, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is not so. If you look at the whole chronology, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And in there you see the four faces of the four beasts, living creatures, the Zoan. And you see the four coming forth from Antichrist. White, red, black, brindle. And he rides plumb out into eternity. So therefore, chronologically, you actually have four seals. The fifth is revelatory concerning the Jews, the souls under the altar. And number six is a complete picture of what happens at the end of four. But seven comes in and gives the revelation that the bride has need of. And remember, the greatest revelation in the opening of the seals and the seven thunders, there is one God. Thus saith the Lord, you must be baptized or rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask you a question. How much respect do the Pentecostals have for the Bible that they endorse? And the prophets and the way the Bible is given that they say they do believe? The answer is, it is nothing but a sham and a mockery. This is why they are the chaff at the end of time. Then Brother Branham rebukes the Pentecostals about Acts 2 and 4, that tongues is not the evidence of the rebirth. He further rebukes them about gifts and warns them that they can't build on gifts, for Jesus said many will come in that day, and I don't even know you. He even shows them that Jannes and Jambres could do the same miracles Moses did, and that they repeat in this hour. 6. He then goes to Matthew 24 and warns that all but the very elect will be deceived in the hour, that the two spirits, Son of Man and Son of Perdition, and yet both, of which one is of God and one is allowed and authenticated that it is God. Remember now, you got the water falling at the last time on everybody, bringing forth the briars, bringing forth the wheat. And Brother Branham said the two spirits are razor blade close. And you can be deceived because these people can be anointed by the same Holy Spirit we have and bring forth every single thing the way Judas did, who healed the sick and raised the dead. And believe me, he did not run around saying, look at that fellow there, he's not Messiah. But I want to tell you, you watch him. I've been close to him, and I'm the guy that carries the bag and writes the checks, and he's a phony baloney. I'll tell you, you look out. He was in there singing hallelujah, praise God, and jumping with the rest. And he was the bunch, he was the same as the bunch that came back and said, ain't it wonderful? He said, amen. He said, devils are subject. Hey, devils are subject. Don't think he wasn't. Look, let's look the Bible in the eye. Look at it the way we know people were there. And we're here. And it's a repeat. All right, then finally, allying himself with the prophets, on page 55, paragraph 2, he shows the fate of those who do not listen to him, even as it says in Acts 3 and Malachi 4, wherein it says they will be burnt up. And it says in Acts, the third chapter, the same as Malachi, second chapter, third chapter, rather, that every single one will be destroyed. And that goes for the foolish virgin, and it goes for the serpent seed. Okay, we're going to start reading now. Page 55, paragraph 2. Even the Old Testament said, if they speak not according to the law and prophets, there is no life in them. Now, he's taking them right back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 13. And then to the definitive statements. If they speak not according to the law and prophets, what law and prophets? Vindicated to be so. Anybody can mouth this. The Seventh-day Adventists mouth it. Oh, man, according to them, you listen to them. You've got the law and the prophets, and you can worship on Saturday, and you'll go to hell by Sunday. We call the mark of the beast, leaving the so-called Sabbath. They're Saturdarians. They're not Sabbatarians. They're Saturdarians. Where do you get that hogwash? Anybody can quote Scripture, and the devil's the best of the works. How many times have I told you, used to be a man in Colorado named Springer. I think he's dead by now. Very brilliant. You quote the Scripture, tell you where it is. You tell where it is, he'll quote the Scripture. And yet he believed there was a hole in the earth at the North Pole, and flying saucers controlled by little brown men came out there. Understand, he believed so firmly something he was eating, or faith control, or mind control.
He was just, I think his hair turned black and curly and everything else was really amazing. Speaking, how do you mean to speak according to the law and the prophets when anybody knows that anybody can pervert the scripture? And the first thing that was done in the Garden of Eden to the human race was a perversion of scripture. So, Brother Branham is telling them, he is allying himself with the prophets, and he's aligning himself with the prophets. He's taking his place with the men of Thus Saith the Lord. If they speak not according to the law and the prophets, there's no life in them. That's exactly what the Bible says. If they deny one thing, then show me one person that ever was baptized using the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name. Why did they do it then? Creed, hybrid, dead children, bastard children, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Scripture. Now here's a man telling you scripture. And if you're not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this at the end time is the penalty. And what you are, you've identified yourselves.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nobody asked you to. Man, that's rough preaching. Hey, I'm not God. I'm trying to serve him, no preaching. Here's what they're. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now you see why I've stood the way I have. In other words, this man had the opportunity to come to this distinct, infallible position, and he arrives. And the rest say, well, hey, just a minute. No, don't just a minute me. You give me one thus saith the Lord. Come on.
Well, Brother Dale, I heard that in a meeting Pentecostal down in Texas.
You're a liar. The truth isn't in you. I don't listen to hogwash. That's where I have all my trouble. I'm a very unkind, mean person. Ooh, I'm very mean. I'm very mean to the lady who said, well, Brother Baylor, doesn't tell me that. She told the rest of you folk, well, I've had his presence since I was 11. He wasn't even on the scene when she was 11. I said, well, Brother Branham said so. And she, I don't care what Brother Branham says, yet she sat here pretending all the time she believed what he said. I go to the Bible. Don't tell me I can't hear from God. I was healed. I said, prostitutes get healed. And people who hate the one and only God go to witch doctor and get healed thinking it's God. Now, do you think she could believe Brother Branham? I'm quoting Brother Branham. Do you think she could believe that? Ha! Do you have any more make-believers around this morning? You need a dip in the fountain, brother, sister. Don't confuse the spirit of hell with the spirit of God. Although he made that spirit of hell. And he said concerning Lucifer, he said, thou was perfect in all thy ways till iniquity was found in thee. And what do you mean? Until it manifested itself. You know something? I could sit before Brother Branham for 50,000 years. And maybe fool every single person until one day I give myself away. So will you. So will I. When he said, you couldn't hide if you tried, brother, sister, I sat there and watched it happen. And believe me, that much I know. Show me one place if it isn't a curse for a woman to cut her hair. Now, here's the catch. Brother Branham, if you really are that prophet, and you really have thus saith the Lord, I'd like to see about 20 on that one in a row. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And they all come to pass, and it's possible I just might believe that hair has something to do with it. Right? Right? Now, come on now. Come on, I sat in these meetings. I myself said, Brother Branham, listen, I've seen these old gals with long hair. They got a tongue long enough to lick the jam off a doorknob. Long hair can't mean a thing. He said, Brother Dale, I didn't say it made you spiritual. It's the Word of God. Well, that's funny. I thought the Word of God made me spiritual.
Hoo, 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 hoo. Just do it. Just let your hair grow. What about slacks? Every abomination. It's the lake of fire. Women wearing men's clothes. Lake of fire.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no. Then why is it in the Word? If it doesn't belong there, it's messing things up, then God's own book is full of disorders. Well, you said, now, don't add to my word, and he adds to his word. How am I going to catch up? You see what I'm driving at?
If we can't have an ultimate somewhere, you got nothing but confusion.
But if you got an ultimate, hey, that's it.
Now, this is what Brother Brown is trying to teach us on his vindication and his alliance with and alignment with the prophets and this word of which Jesus Christ was the fullness and came and died for us, sending his life back upon us. And the people say, Brother Branham's a prophet. See, now the women were cutting their hair, they fuss at me. Then people say, Brother Branham's a prophet. Sure, they can't help it. Oh, you believe him as long as he's talking to the people, telling them their sins and things like that. But when he goes to teaching, don't you believe that? Well, you poor hypocrite. I love Brother Branham saying that. He says it instead of me. Thank you, Brother Branham. You don't know nothing. I like that too. Better than anything, don't know nothing. A double negative is better than anything. Doesn't the Bible say the word of the Lord came to the prophets? I don't call myself a prophet. I'm no prophet.
And that's true. To them, he isn't.
Yeah.
Tell me, how many people was Jesus the prophet to? The majority of people call themselves Christians don't even know that basically Jesus was a prophet. Oh, Messiah, oh, Messiah, oh, Messiah. Sound like a train. Oompa, bumpa, oompa, bumpa, coming down the trench.
No Messiah unless he's a prophet. Koresh, who's a Messiah?
If he'd had as many, thus saith the Lord, as he had women and children, he'd have been a world beater. But he's nothing but a stinking fraud. Never had one, thus saith the Lord. Men and women got entranced by his spiritual vulgarity. Why, he had a Harvard lawyer there. So much for your brains. No wonder Paul called them dung. Okay. I don't call myself a prophet, but you said so. I'm saying what you said.
Then turn around and say a thing like that. In other words, deny the very concept of a prophet. You say, hey, that's a dog. And you identify it as a dog. And you say, hey, doggy, doggy, how would you like this nice little daily hay for your dinner?
I'm not stupid.
That's a very good illustration. What do you call Brother Branham a prophet? And you don't listen to what a prophet really is. Why do you try to feed him a bale of hay? Why don't you give him back the word? Say, Brother Branham, that's right, that's right, that's right. Amen, I'll take that. I don't specifically know all about it. But that's it, because you're a vindicated prophet. turn around and say a thing like that. Don't say you didn't do it. I've even got a tape where you said it. You didn't know that, did you? Just want you to say you didn't one time. That's all I want you to say. I'll let your own voice play it back to you. And what about the judgment? As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, miracle workers, that's Pentecostals, but where was the word, the true word? There were guys working miracles. Pretty soon there'd be gays working, but not already. Those guys could do everything in the miracle line, but there were two anointed prophets standing there, or one prophet and his helpmate. Now you got to kind of watch this, because in this particular instance, this could be Brother Branham saying, God is his own prophet and I am his helper. It's like Gideon, we're going to use this word later on down and have a little different understanding, I do believe. There was an anointed prophet called Moses stood there, had thus said the Lord. And at the end, it was all manifested before the deliverance. Is that right? The so-called miracle workers died right out. They actually died, no doubt chasing the Israelites into the Red Sea, and they were overcome. I don't think for one minute that Pharaoh would have moved without them. But I could be wrong. I'm just giving my little guess there historically that if they were his right-handed boys in this spiritual situation, spiritual economic situation, he took them right along. All right, now, what are they trying to do? They're trying to manufacture latter rain. Nonsense. Why that latter rain will sweep the world, brother? Now, remember, the latter rain will bring to maturity the three seeds that were sown. The bride seed, the Pentecostal seed, and the denominational. That's Protestant, Roman, Catholic, the whole thing in there. There's been a former rain sowing word. That's hyphenated. There's been a former rain sowing word. Put the hyphen between them. To the dashes. That's right. Now you'll see what the latter rain produces. Now what's it going to produce? It's going to produce every single thing that's in those seeds. Two seeds out there, and then the third. And my, let me tell you something, I believe with all my heart. Everybody's going to be surprised. Even the bride. Going to be terribly surprised to see the results. Infinite beyond imagination. And the rest are going to be surprised to find they become atomic fodder. Now watch. Now you'll see what the latter rain produces. You'll find out there'll be an affiliation. It's going on now and we know it. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together and they will shut the doors on those guys that won't listen to them, and you won't even be allowed to open your mouth. Now there's laws in the books right now. They're called hate laws and everything else. Right. That's when he'll come. That's when he'll show. That's when you'll see a rain. Oh my, lie still and be quiet, let it go. In other words, he's telling you flat, you're in a lull. Like when a young man came and said, Brother Branham, I don't feel all the joy, I don't feel all this hilarity and those things I used to feel. He said, son, the revival's over. Now what was he talking about? He's talking about those conditions which were existent, are pre-existent to the bringing of the Word and during the time of that Word, because remember, the Word took on a form of stimulation. Now that's the only place where you are right today, is a lying still in the sun and the stimulation of that Word. And what is it doing? It is stimulating your spiritual and physical endocrine glands with the light of Almighty God. The people, I believe, right in this audience will not have that fourth ring of light depart, but superseded by the fifth ring that takes you right to the tree of life and gives you immortality. Most of the time I feel like my fourth ring is going to get rejuvenated. But I don't know. I don't know. If you get out of here, you get the best of both worlds. See? Now, remember Brother Branham also said, When the squeeze comes down, the third pull comes into existence as never before. Now, that's been taken to the point where Brother Branham must come back and attend. And listen, I don't care he comes back. My God, just as long as he gets here. And I don't care what he does when he gets here. Just get here. Yeah. People scream for God, get here. Then when he gets here, they care. Oh, my. Why'd you do that? Why this? Why that? Oh, shut up. Why'd you bother screaming? You didn't want him in the first place. All you wanted was God to anoint you in what you wanted for what you to do and then tell God what to do. So shut up and get out of the picture. You go to the lake of fire, just like the devil. No hope for you. Gone. Now, the third pull, according to Brother Branham, itsy bitsy birds, doves, angels. And the third pull was the greatest of all, which was the revelation of the seventh seal and the seven thunders. Now, what is the receptacle of that word, bride? The earth, the husbandry of God. To receive it here in temples made of clay. So that they within us cannot be made perfect. We are being perfected by the end time message. When spiritual headship is here and we're being united together by the word and joined to him. So that with complete headship in control, the body must go where the head is, which brings them out of the ground, and we change and go on. And headship is here. So I'm going to tell you something. It'd be fine if mighty miracles come, but Brother Branham said, you've seen your last sign. I believe in healings. Everything that's in the Word, I want. And I know if we confess properly and keep on confessing, God will make our bodies obey that confession which is in the Word. Brother Branham said so. And he didn't have to say it. Look, it's in the Bible. Men like Kenyon knew that. Anybody that understands divine healing knew that. We didn't need Brother Branham to even say that, but he said it because the people are getting lax. He'll make your body obey it. You become that promise, the living word, your healing, whatever is your desire of God which is legitimate to you. You can have it, just keep your confession up. Where Brother Abbott came from, and you didn't get healed, the guy said, oh, you got sin in your life. Oh, come on. I wonder if you could pray the prayer of faith. Call the elders and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they're all gone. Where is his prayer of faith? Where's mine? Where's yours? The prayer of faith takes it out of your hands when you're sick. When you're sick and you call the doctor and you're right down on the floor and you tell the, well, I'll tell you how to get up. I'll tell you how to handle me. And I'll tell you what to do. You say, oh, God, just get me to the hospital and give me a shot or something. See, there's something wrong, brother and sister. People aren't even human anymore. Gross darkness has covered the people. They can't think anymore. Latter rain. It's here, and it's going to be stronger and stronger. It's going to be more and more pervasive. As far as I'm concerned, I just want the word to be so pervasive it takes my life over, my body over, and yours too. Miracles and things I don't need. Thank God if we get them. Wonderful. But hey, I can die. I don't want to die vegetable. I hope I don't, but that might be God wants me to die that way. I don't know. Maybe I've broken so many laws in this life here that I got to pay my price. I'm not going to argue, but I'll tell you one thing I'm arguing for. That word, to so live, that we go right to the tree of life, because that is the promise under the seventh seal. When the seals are broken. Oh, but the word was with that anointed prophet because the word of God came to the prophet. Now, God doesn't change his system. No, no. But they think he does. He never changes his system. Now, what was it? There stood three again. There went Jannes and Jambres performing miracles. Light went down to Sodom. One little miracle. Blinded the people. See, with creeds and dogmas. And homosexuality. Everybody loves the homo dear. Everybody have no fear. He's my wonderful brother. Hogwash. He's an abomination. God said, destroy the homosexuals from out the land. No, the church gets in the act and say God made a mistake. Even the Jews have made, the Jews have denied 100% the word of God. They got female rabbis. Where were the original homos in America standing? In the Jewish homes. Come on, go back. The way my mind goes back. And they said it because of the materialism and the Oedipus complex, those Jewish women put on their sons. And now today you're Jewish if your mother's Jewish. You ever heard such crud in your life? Jews are no longer Jews, it's just the name. Out of millions and millions, 144,000 will be the real Jews. I'm not against the Jews, I just lay it on the platter. Sheep. Look at, if God doesn't say, if God hasn't sent a prophet, I'm going to tell you one thing. Forget it. I'm not like those guys, smart enough now if the real thing comes. You know what? If this isn't it, I'm finished. I couldn't go through any more, thus saith the Lord, and this and that for anything in my life, because if a whole bunch of thus saith the Lord legitimately came, I would just have to blow my brains out. I'm too old to go out and have a whale of a good time, eat, drink, be merry, get drunk, carouse. Hey, look, one shot of wine and I'd vomit. One cigarette and I'd throw up over the whole congregation. What am I supposed to do? You know what? Blow your brains out. Cuss a blue streak against whatever gods there be, nature, anything else. And just sit down before you blow your brains out and cry a little softly and regret you didn't sin when you had the chance to sin, if you'd had a lot of fun doing it. I'm not bitter. I'm just telling you, hey, I speak as a human being. As the scripture said, just eat, drink, and be merry. And as Paul said, if in this life only we're talking about something and no resurrection, he said, the best you got, in spite of your high moral thinking and your nice, nice ways and your sweet, 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 you're just a miserable crud. Face up to it. Shall we go home now? Or shall we dance? In other words, shall we get with it? And understand, look, this is why it's live, die, sink. Brother Branham lays it out. There stood Abraham, the anointed one, with God in his help, meet Sarah. I think that's a little, not iffy, but I mean, it's put in such a way that I think he's really saying here, there stood God, that anointed one, because he is the anointing and the anointed. Of course, Abraham was anointed too. And there stood Sarah. The word helpmate means one of his own kind. So here was two little brides standing right there in perfect union with the Word, who had to discern her heart and put her in order. All he did was rebuke her. He didn't hurt her because she lied to him. She was living a bit of a lie right there, you know. All those years she hadn't believed, but Abraham had. In there plugging away, just believing God. No matter what came. But she was his kind. Brother Branham stands here with a little bride round him. Here's God Almighty. Brother Branham, here's God. There's Brother Branham's picture, and there's the bride around him somewhere. Is that right? Here stood Jannes and Jambres performing miracles. Anything Moses can do, the sign of miracles and signs. And there stood the anointed word, the prophet with his helper, his assistant. Oh, I wish I could preach on that now. Well, God's his own prophet. Now he's got a man to talk through. And now the prophet that is God to the people has got a bride to work to. Here it is, passed right on. Now, people don't believe that yet. You realize that Brother Branham continually made Genesis is chapter 18 then. Chapter 18. I always want to make it 19. Why do I want to make it 19 for? It's got to be 18. It don't got to be, but I'm saying it is. Yeah, there it is. Genesis 18. And Sodom is 19. Yeah. Okay, Genesis 18 is Hebrews 13 and 8. Who never changes, does what he always does the same way. All right, in Genesis 1, remember. Now, this is a good one. And I'm not going to tell you I've got the answer, but I'm going to look at it. All right, in Genesis 1, remember, every seed after its kind. So every single seed was there, every single seed was original, every single seed was a God. It must forever be that way. There's all those types in Genesis. And remember, they end up in Revelation. Seed book, harvest. A man who could believe that the church will go through a tribulation period, I wonder where you'd ever get a seed for that. Now, he's telling us something. And I don't know whether I'm too dumb, I can't get it. I didn't look at it long enough, which I admit I did not. I'll be honest with you. But right there, he tells you in the book of Genesis, there's a seed sown positively that says you will not go through the great tribulation. Okay. There's all the types. A man who would say or could believe the church would go through the tribulation period, I wonder where he got that seed. Well, you see, I believe it's that they'll do. That's all right. Did you notice yonder where the rain falls? The rain fell on the other kind. Where did it fall? Now, here's where we're getting some insight. Noah was in the ark before the judgment struck. Now, remember, as it was in the days of Noah, 8 people got there safely. In other words, 8 people rose up above the flood and came right down upon this earth. So therefore, you got a perfect picture of the bride going up and coming down after the cleansing of the earth, which is going to be by fire, a renovation. I don't understand it, but that's in Malachi. It's right through the scripture. All right. He was in the ark. Now watch. Sodom. Lot was out of Sodom before it ever took place. Sure, we aren't going through any tribulation period. You're going in the rapture one of these days. Now there's where he's using his types in Genesis. But before that ever occurred, there had to be a seed somewhere because you can't plant seeds afterward. Even the tares that were already in the ground. So there's got to be something in the first chapter of Genesis, the first 2 chapters, and into 3 where God talks again, that'll give us will give us the seed where this is a manifestation. Which manifestation repeats at the end time? We will not go into the great tribulation. Now, you remember that I was quite a student of some preachers, one Dr. Bosworth, that Brother Branham spoke so highly of, and I can understand why, that he believed we went through the tribulation because it types beautifully in about every single thing that has to do with your life where we make the big phony mistake the same way the Catholics do. The Catholics know you're going to be purged, but they're going to put you in a little hot spot, but not real hot spot, so you can pay to get out of there. That's very interesting. It's another golden calf money racket. Then you see the people that go through the Great Tribulation, they got that wrong. The purging is done here by God putting us through trials and temptations, so we learn the way of the Lord is the way to go. Because when a man, he gets tested in his flesh, and he gets pain, he begins to smarten up and say, hey, it's about time I quit doing this thing. You learn by the trials and things that you suffer. Well, the Great Tribulation, brother, sister, is not that at all. It's a retributive judgment upon collective sin. And it falls at one time. It is not a process over the ages. So it's like the judgment of Noah when the water hit the earth and took everybody away but those that were above it.
And that's what's going to happen according to the book of Revelation. Now, back in those days, of course, I used to believe that we went through the tribulation. And when Brother Branham taught otherwise, I wanted to get information from him. And so I sat with him. And as we sat and talked, my mind was so full of Scripture and far more abundant than he was able to give me that I could see the air getting black between us. He was moving one way, I was moving another. Although I was trying to move to him, I couldn't do it because, you see, I wasn't believing. I was taking Scripture against Scripture, and you cannot pit Scripture against Scripture and get anywhere. You've got to listen. Hey, what is the proper division for heaven's sake? So finally, when he was helping me, but he couldn't. Finally, I knew what had happened to me. I said, Brother Branham, just one more question, if you please. He said, sure, Brother Bale, what is it? I said, Brother Branham, I'm not getting anywhere, and I know it's my fault. Could you just please tell me, is it thus saith the Lord, the bride will not go through the tribulation? He said, Lee, it is thus saith the Lord, she will not go through. I said, thank you, Brother Branham. That's all I need to know. I will find out from the Scripture. I know you're right. And I did. And it took me years of just standing back and waiting. And then when I saw it, it was letter perfect. It showed the very things that great students stumble over. And they stumble over the word wrath. And I'm going to tell you, if you study that out carefully and place it with the Scripture, you will find that the bride never, ever has the retributive wrath of God fall upon her, because you'll notice, as Brother Branham says right in here, and I'll read it to you. Sure, we're not going through any tribulation period. You're going on a rapture one of these days, certainly. Why do you have to be judged? He stood my tribulation or my penalty, all the wrath accumulated against me, and there's just my parents and everybody else and what I did. And what they were good at, they passed on to me, and I got better than they were at sinning. Oh, yeah. I've become a past master, according to my own parents and their parents and their parents. Yeah. And he took the penalty. So how come I'm going to go through great tribulation? He took my tribulation, my penalty. See? Remember, this man is vindicated to say what he says. He stood my tribulation, Jesus Christ. There's where my tribulation took place. Yeah, I accepted him, and I'm free. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's right. Moses was safe, safely protected while with Israel, while the tribulation fell. That's right. And notice that was just the beginning of tribulation. The next thing, not only was the death angel there destroying the seed, but those seed bearers now that were left, because their firstborn was a real seed bearer, now they're all dead in the ocean, leaving neither root nor branch. The same thing's going to happen. There will not be another group of human beings, as we know humanity today upon this earth. It's going to be a bunch of glorified people, hallelujah, right down the line. Okay, we're not going to go much further. We might go back here just to the book of Genesis for a minute, right in the very beginning, and remember this. God tells the man that he is to have the supervision over the creation, and through multiplying, the whole earth would come in subjection with those wonderful people there. And then when they went astray, in the third chapter, you notice what he says here. In verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now here's where your true sons get their lesson. Eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not have it, cursed to the ground for thy sake, and sore shall eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of thou hast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now you know there's a logical sequence there. What you're supposed to do is just gracefully grow old and die, and go back to the dust. And there's nothing mentioned there of any one of these sons of Adam ever getting the wrath of God to fall upon them in retributive justice as it fell upon Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You don't find that there. Now,
remember in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, where in Genesis 3, Adam could not go to the tree and life and live forever, a mystery comes up. And the mystery is a solution to Adam's dilemma, the human race, the true Adamic seed that came from God, that have the genes from God in their souls, and the souls from God. Okay. What is it? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, at the last trump, for the trumpet must sound. Now it tells you there's a certain trumpet that has to sound, and then is when you know. And remember, in the voice of the seven church angels, when that trumpet sounds, that's under your seventh seal, your last church age messenger. That's when you can go to the tree of life and live forever. Now what does it? The opening of the seals. You don't find these people dying, even a natural death. So how in the world can they die what you'd call a supernatural death that happened to Corey, Dathan, and Abiram? Because remember, the fire is for the chaff. And the seed has to be out of the chaff. It's gone. What is the seed? Royal seed, firstborn seed. So there's no way that you could possibly, as a child of God, go into the great tribulation where, remember, they pray to die and they don't die except the foolish virgin that are killed. They die all right. 3.5 years of terrible, terrible problems on the earth, the great tribulation. But remember, Moses was safe. That's right. All right, every seed must come after its kind. God made man in his image after his kind to be his word on earth. That's the express word on earth. Here. And it was, because he let us make man. He expressed it in Jesus Christ. That was the full perfection. What was it? God was in Christ. That's a man after his kind. See, when God, which is the Word, how many knows he's the Word? When the Word was in Christ, a man, human being, human man, expressing itself through him, that was God, the Word, in Christ expressing himself. And God in the beginning made man in his own image. And that's the kind of man that God makes today. The seminary and the incubator hatchery turns out a bunch of... What does he mean here? Those men will be in the continuity of God's Word. They're not going to be hybrids. They're going to believe it. See, all through the years now, it couldn't do it, but you got to come to the place where it's got to do it, because that's the predestinated plan of God. Get to that tree and live forever. See, when God calls a man, he's in his own image, the Word made alive in him. Now, how does it become alive in him if it's not alive to him? Now, if I were saying this in Brother Branham, I'm saying it for Brother Branham. Say this, see, when God calls a man, he's in his own image. The Word alive is made to him because the Word is alive in him. There's something in there. Like Jesus said, you don't have a place for my Word in your heart, in your soul. That's right. There he is. That's God's man. Man in his own image, in his very likeness. And Jesus said that he'll do the works that I do. So God made man in his own image after his kind. His kind, what's his kind? The Word. He is the Word. Now, Brother Brown was talking again about himself as well as us as individuals within our own capacity. But up here, he's talking about John 12 and 14, and as far as I'm concerned, and when he says, and Jesus said, he'll do the works that I do. And I realize that Brother Branham did not put in there greater works. That's John 12, 14. 14, 12. But the thing is this. We understand that we, in our own positions, do the particular works, but he had a most particular one. And his kind, what's his kind? The Word. He is the Word. Then if a man denies God's Word, how can he be in God's image? See, just ask the question. Ask yourself. How can you be in God's image and deny God's Word when the Word expressed image of himself? See, how true. Oh, he says he doesn't. It doesn't mean that. Expressed image of God. Said, oh, I said it, but I didn't really mean it. I was wrong there. I back up. That was some other time I did. In other words, can you hear God saying that? Oh, mercy, trash, slop of the devil that he fed to eat. Don't let people try to poke it down the elected neck. No? No, sir. They won't believe that. Just come and join with our gang. Join nothing. You've got to be born, not join a new creature. Yes, in his own image of his kind, to be his expressed word on earth. Now, Jesus was God's expressed word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to do?
sons of God, too, with the express word in the church, carrying on that mystical body of Christ, carrying on the same works that Jesus did when he was on earth, see, after his own kind. Now, right in this particular area here, you cannot possibly make this say, well, all right, if we don't have the works, it is certain we don't have anything. Because then you are putting works above a manifestation far above the works itself. The thing to do here is to recognize and understand that those are there, but you don't major in a minor. The important thing is to know the works are there and believe also and understand that healing and those things that are in the Word are absolutely available to us, but never in the same context and content that they are in a prophet. So Brother Branham is looking at the denominational now who deny. How many times did Billy Graham pray for the sick? A general prayer of somebody sick, oh Lord, please do something if you possibly could. But they don't make it definitive. So he looks at the two seeds being sown. And one denominational seed, they just stand back and say, well, God did it, but he doesn't do it anymore. And this may be of God because, you know, it's a good little thing to have a little pain. And they rationalize it. And the Pentecostals come on full steam and they say, yes, bless God, we've got the works. Therefore, we are right. And Brother Branham turns around and says, Janice and Jambers had the works and they're wrong. So what he's doing, you're looking at a group of people who follow Brother Branham's ministry. And notice that Brother Branham continually prayed for the sick. The question is, how many got healed? It doesn't matter how many got healed. Are we faithful for praying for the sick? Are we faithful of doing everything we're supposed to do? As Spurgeon said, the most wonderful thing ever heard in my life. And he said, it is my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to him. So here's what you're looking at here. In Spoken Word's original seed, we'll finish that next Saturday now and get into the book number 2. We find here that Brother Branham is simply saying, basically in this sermon, what he was doing already, confirmed to the people so they'd have no lack of understanding that he was that vindicated prophet to bring you right back, not only to the true understanding of the Word of God, but in his hands were placed as a minister, faithful as Paul in 2 Corinthians the 4th chapter, that without him there could not be a resurrection and a rapture. There could not be a world ecumenical society. There could not be chaff. There could not be separation. There could not be these things. In other words, it hung on him as the one that God chose to be that kingpin for God and with God in this particular position. Now, they'll all stand back and say, now you did it, Bill. You made him God. Now you showed what you were. And I say, wonderful. And you showed what you were. Now we're like the guy that was going to buy a horse. And you heard my stale old joke many times, haven't you? And I'll tell it again. So you find out what the horse is like by putting your hand in his mouth and counting his teeth. And so the guy stuck his hand in the horse's mouth and counted his teeth, and the horse counted his fingers. You know where I stand? Maybe stuck my hand in your mouth. You counted my fingers. In other words, it's easy to know who people are and who I am. Just go to the Word. Give the Word test. Well, are you making yourself unique, Brother Bill? No more than you or anybody else. Right? Right. Let's rise and be dismissed. Saturday night at 7:30, we come together again. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time of fellowship we have around your Word. And we know, Lord, that whether people want to believe it or not, it has been made manifest. And that's the thing, Lord, that as we come together, I feel in our hearts and our minds, our souls, we begin to understand more and more. And yet the devil stands right outside the door, maybe even inside the door, to pluck it out of our hearts and our minds. This tremendous revelation that we have and discussed this morning, that this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. This was that spoken by all the prophets. This is that which was to be in this hour and this day when you stood upon earth, O Elohim, with your prophet. And the people then here would come to a perfection so that they without us should not be made perfect, and they can come back upon the earth, and we can be changed. And this was done even, as Paul said, by a ministry. The gospel with a man. And I believe, Lord, this was that Elijah which should come forth, even as your prophet himself said, Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even he said the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Even as he put everything back on you, but helped us to realize that here was a man under the control of Almighty God, even yourself, Elohim, that you could stand over him as a pillar of fire, and you could invade his very being as that same pillar of fire. And that man had to bring forth that truth. And there wasn't any way that he could miss it any more than when you said, let there be light and there's light. And I know, Lord, because people stand today and they put a reasoning mind as your stumbling block that, Lord, you cannot have your way because of the mind of man. They forget that you said you will make the wrath of man to praise him and the remainder of wrath you will restrain. They forget that you reign in the armies of the heaven and earth and you do exactly what you want and you will do it. That when you said, let's make man rich and give him this dominion, you never gave it to a man because he wasn't even there to give it to. You gave it yourself. That there would be a man. Like a man after your own heart, like David, Jesus. Now, more kindred ones to stand in the midst. And just think, Lord, what a great day that is on the bride when Jesus himself is on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne. And there stand those mighty men like David there. Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob. Samuel, Isaiah sawn asunder, Jeremiah put to shame, men thrown in dungeon, Paul the great Paul, great men, 420 elders, all standing there, sitting there, perhaps, all in that great kingdom we allowed there too. And how was it? It was because of your word, Lord, which you said. The very people stand up against it that know without your sovereignty that you standing with your word as the word himself, they'd never be there. And Lord, if we're a part of that word, we're going to believe everything that's said. So help us today, Lord, to get rid of everything and to walk in the light as you're in the light and to fellowship one another. And we, loving that same word, love each other, Lord, and progress onward, praying for each other, helping each other, no matter what it is, making sure that we run interference for those round about us who need help, and making doubly sure that nobody interferes with us when it comes to standing with that word and walking in the light. Help us, Lord, to have the same blessed spirit the prophet had in our own little niche here in this little body of Christ, that we might not lack in anything as we present ourselves and wait for further presentation. At that great day, Lord, when very hopefully and blessedly we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, heal the sick amongst us, Father, by starting deep within the soul. And within the mind, we each of us begin to realize that that very word that we believe and witness to coming out of our mouth, you will make our bodies respond to it. Help the people to realize that. For that stands right with the same promise called for the elders. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord, are we getting so lazy? We want somebody to do it for us all the time? Maybe that's our trouble. We need to take more of the word, not more, all of the word, and lay it all in there in its proper ways of understanding so the doctrine of healing and these other doctrines become complete and pure so that we stand with it until it begins to stand through us and manifest itself and bring into absolute manifestation what lies in that light. So we're looking for help, Lord. Keep us during the week, Father. And may we be busy, concerned about our Father's business, tending to the Word and sharing the life that is in there by giving the Word abroad, whatever is necessary, bringing our homes under divine order, applying the token, all of those things, safe journey here, there, whatever. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take